Maybe you gave thanks to the Lord around a dinner table or sitting around as a group, as a family or friends. Maybe you just spent some time alone giving thanks to God. But as we stop this morning, there are so many things we can thank God for, even when we go through changing times of life.
Life change isn't always easy. Whether it's from a kid's perspective and thinking, oh man, all of this homework that I've got to do this year, if I was only in ninth grade, right? If I was only a senior and graduating, or man, if I was only in college, or man, if I was only just done with school. And yet then we continue on and we can wish all those years away. But as life changes, we can praise the Lord. We need to stop and count our many blessings that God has given to us. God is an awesome God, worthy of all praise and all worship. But as we stop to think about giving thanks to Him, the question we should ask this morning is, do I stop and give thanks to God through the changes of my life? Even when it's tough, always it seems like it's easy when it's easy. But when life changes happen, do I really stop and praise God? Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for the difference You make in our life. And we just pray that this morning You would be glorified. God, we ask that You would speak to us. God, this is Your Word we open. We want to hear from You. We want to worship You. We want to be changed by You as we go through this next week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three important truths that we can remember as we praise God through changing times of life. Isaiah, we started this morning in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, some of you say, man, I wish I could run like I used to be able to and not grow weary. Man, Matthew enjoys his cross-country running and does a good job with that. But, man, not all of us could just go out and run 3 miles up and down hills and wherever all it may be. But the reality is that as we go through the trials and the changes of life, we don't have to faint and be weary. We can rest in God. But as we go through those times, and sometimes we look and we say, God, where are You? We can stop and praise God because we know He's promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, if you know Him as your Savior. Isaiah then goes on in chapter 41. He says, keep silence before Me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to His foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over the kings. He gave them as the dust to His sword and as driven stubble to His bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that He had not gone with His feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art My servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, My friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art My servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. As we look at this, we're reminded that really as a nation, they were in life together. Didn't matter the occupation, but their life was about trusting in God and knowing that He could carry them through. And they could encourage each other and draw each other close to this truth that God is with us. The God who made everything, knows everything, and cares about us. aren't you thankful that whatever goes on in life, cell phones and everything else, that God cares and that God knows what's going on and that we can be an encouragement to each other? In our auditorium Sunday school class this morning, we were reminded that each of us is a unique creation of God and that you have a specific role God has called you to play at Jeru Baptist Church. Are you doing that? As we saw these individuals as the nation of Israel, they continue to encourage each other and point each other back to the Lord. When life gets tough, it's a blessing to have people to help remind us that I can praise God. Number one, if I will remember to praise God through the trials and through the changes of life, I can remember that I can praise God because I have been chosen. Praise God that you've been chosen. It wasn't you that chose to get saved. Yes, you acknowledged your need of a Savior and you trusted by faith Christ. But He did all of that work for us. He made that difference in our life. He made it possible that we could come to Him as Savior. Where I was reminded as I was reading in Ephesians this week that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the earth. Before man even had the opportunity to sin, God knew he would. And God knew our need. We've been chosen. Now, specifically in the book of Isaiah, we're reminded the nation of Israel. We are not the nation of Israel. We can't take the promises of the nation of Israel. We are the New Testament church age. But here in Israel, God is reminding them that He chose them. Verse number 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Praise God that you have been chosen. You are His servant. Yes, not just the nation of Israel, but here, us in the New Testament age. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. We are servants of God. We've been chosen to serve Him, to play the role that He's called us to serve Him for. Part of that is sharing the gospel and reaching out with His love to the lost and dying world around us. We know from Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We know that God demonstrated or commended His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He chose us. He loved us enough to die for us. And it wasn't simply for those who were saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There are people lost and dying around us today that need to know that God wants them. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it comes to the point where I must put my faith and trust in Him. Some people say, well, man, I don't need to share the gospel because all who are going to be saved just will be. Well, the reality is God has commanded us to share His love and His gospel. The reality is that we must come to that point personally. When did you trust Christ as Savior? I was 4.5 years old, and man, I was thankful that Christ died for my sin. And some people would say, well, man, what do you do as a 4.5-year-old? Well, you remember what your kids did at 4.5 years old. But those sins were enough to condemn me to hell because I am a sinner. And Christ died for my sin. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, remember He died for you so that you can have your sins forgiven. You have been chosen by Him. He created us. He's called us. We were reminded in the book of Corinthians as we've been studying that, called to be His. What a blessing. You are His servant. But verse 8 goes on and doesn't just remind us that we're His servant. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. We see a couple different individuals throughout the Bible called the friend of God. What an honor to be called the friend of God. Am I a friend of God? God wants to have that friendship with me. He is a personal God who wants a personal relationship. But once again, it's our choice. Am I going to draw nigh to him or draw away from him? We're reminded in James to draw nigh to God. We're reminded in John that Jesus didn't just call them servants. We're reminded we're his servant. But in John 15, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you." You are his friend. When life gets tough and we wonder how we can make it through this time of change, we can remember we're chosen of God, that we're his friend. Wow. You think about relationships. Sometimes as we're around people, it gets awkward. Maybe you haven't been around someone for a while. Maybe we get together at Thanksgiving or Christmas times, and sometimes there's those awkward moments as we're kind of getting reacquainted with family members we haven't seen or spoken to in a long time, or other friends. Well, the reality is God doesn't want us to be awkward with him. He wants us to walk with him every day and have that daily relationship he had with Adam and Eve in the garden. And who broke that relationship? Adam and Eve, as they chose to sin. And you and I, as we choose to walk our own way. Yet God says, "You're my friend." Jesus says, "I've called you friends." He shared his truth, his love with us. What a blessing to remember these truths. What an encouragement as we go through these changing times of life. Verse 9, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." Again, many times God reminded the children of Israel, he chose them. There was a special relationship he had with the nation of Israel. Now there were people who were not Israelites or who were not Jewish, who they could come in and they could have a relationship with God. In fact, we see that in different places, that again, they were a light to the world around them. But God loved them. There was a special relationship with them. And as you go through the changing times of life, will you remember that God loves you? You have a special relationship with God, the creator of the universe. We sang earlier, for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, and all that God has made, the God who made all that wants to have that friendship with you and I. And incredible to think about that. Not just that he's chosen us and we're friends of his, if you will, but that we are in his plan. He has a plan for your life and for my life. He had a plan for the nation of Israel. He said, "I've chosen thee and not cast thee away." He could have. Think about back to Noah in the ark. And the reality that God used Noah to preach of God's righteousness in the earth. We could think then of Abraham and how God just said, "Hey, he's going to destroy this whole city," and ended up doing it. God has a plan. He had a plan for Noah in his day and age. He had a plan for Abraham and using him on the earth. And he has a plan for you and for me. People in whatever other city or country may not have ever hear of us. That doesn't mean we're not part of his plan. God has a special plan and it includes you. When I go through the changes of life, I can praise God because I have been chosen. I'm in his plan. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." His plan includes that I live righteously here in this earth. As we'll get to it, as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, his plan includes that we do everything we do for the glory of God. That's living life as a believer, that's sharing the gospel with the unbelievers, that they can come to know Christ as Savior. But my life is in God's plan. We think about plans for buildings, whether it's a house or some other building. You do a drawing, you have blueprints. Even if you're doing just a small little project of making an addition in a room or changing some things, you've got a plan of where you're going and what you're doing, maybe even if you don't write it out. But the reality is that God has a plan for your life. He knows what He wants. He's chosen you. As I go through the changes of life that sometimes are tough, remember Isaiah, as he's writing, and even back in chapter 40, verse 31, there were struggles, emotional, physical. Hey, you can be weak and whatnot, but when you trust in the Lord, you'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Wow. Why? Because I've been chosen by God. And I have a relationship with God. And God wants it more than just Sundays. It's not that I have a relationship with God because I go to church. It's a personal relationship with God as I commune with Him, both through listening to Him through His Word and speaking to Him through prayer. You know, I think about that even as we call our morning worship, we often refer to that as worship. Our morning service is worship service. A lot of people think of it's just the first half of the service that's worship because that's what our music is, and then we listen to preaching. Well, the reality is, as we listen to God's Word, it is an act of worship. Am I responding to Him through His Word as He speaks? Man, encouraged through the truth that I've been chosen by Him and I have a relationship with Him and I'm in His plan. We looked at this in the auditorium class this morning, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. His plan doesn't simply include salvation in our life. It goes on beyond that. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for your life, even before you were born. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God knew him while he was in his mother's belly. Before he was born, God had a plan for Jeremiah's life. John the Baptist. God had a special plan for him. We know others throughout the Bible specifically referred to, even in their mother's womb, that God had a plan. God has a plan for your life. Are you living it? He's chosen you. Have you chosen Him? Have you accepted Him as your Savior and thus walk with Him and know Him in that personal relationship? Praise God as you go through these changing times of life because you have been chosen. But we also see that I can praise God that I have emotions. You know, sometimes we look at emotions and we say, oh, I just wish I wasn't that way. Or maybe you look at your wife or your daughters, or you look at some other family members and say, whoa, they're emotional. God has made us emotional beings. Whose image are we created in? God's image. God is an emotional God. Not as we often think of emotions, oh, and whatever it may be, weeping and crying and whatever it may be. And sometimes we watch people work through their emotions. But God has made us emotional. We can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We can sit and love people. And as much as we can feel what they're going through, we can praise God for emotions. Look at verse 10. We see some emotions, which aren't always fun, but these emotions draw us back to God, who has chosen us. Verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He says we don't have to fear, we don't have to be dismayed. But the reality is we have emotions. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad, Jesus said. Paul, throughout the book of Philippians, talked about joy and rejoicing. We're reminded that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Even in our emotions, we can have a sound mind. God has made us with emotions. And I can praise God for that. Men, do you praise God for that in your wife? As you love her through her emotions too, that she displays in a different way than you do? Men, we have emotions. It's okay to cry. We have emotions. It's okay to feel with others who feel. God has made us emotional. And yet, sometimes it's hard to understand other people's emotions. And yet, striving to do that, we can praise God for emotions. Incredible to think about that. He says here, "Fear thou not." Which reminds us that I will face experiences that may cause me to fear. The children of Israel were doing that. But I can do that. How often do we do that? We face those times. We see every time in the Bible when an angel came to a person, what did the angel say? Fear not. Man, their emotions were involved. They were frightened. The shepherds, Joseph, Mary, fear not. Fear not. So there were emotions there. Peter, when he was walking on the water. In fact, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water to you." Talk about confidence in God, right? Man, oh, if I only had that confidence. But immediately, what did he do? He got his eyes off the Lord onto the situation. What did he do? He feared. He let his emotions control the way he acted and lived and responded. We can't do that. We need to let our emotions draw us back to God. Because again, we're reminded, fear thou not. Peter, he was afraid or nervous as he even followed Christ after they had taken him. What did Peter end up doing 3 different times? Denying that he knew him. Why? Man, his fear in his heart. They might think he was with him. Our emotions can get the better of us sometimes. And sometimes, men, we say, well, that's what the ladies do. But sometimes, men, we just let our emotions get in the way and we just cover them up and we storm through something. And we're going to do it. Or we go through different things. We can't let our emotions control us, but we should let our emotions draw us back to God and praise God that we have those emotions because they do show us and remind us once again of our need of God. You don't have to be afraid. Aren't you thankful? We work through that with our kids. One of our kids came up the other night late, and man, I'm scared. I've got scary thoughts going through my mind. Well, just think nice thoughts. Well, wait a second. That's not how we deal with our emotions of fear and whatnot. We go back to the Word of God, and we what? Let God change our thinking. We let God take those emotions and draw us back to Him. Sometimes our emotions, again, help us to walk close with God because we need Him. So as I go through those changing times of life, and I fear, as God says here to the children of Israel, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." We take those emotions and we draw back to the truth of God's Word. We let God change our thinking and think the truth. Okay, God is what? With me. And as a believer, we can walk confidently through life with that promise, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I remember when I was working with kids' ministries in high school through Child Evangelism Fellowship and as they taught us to lead a child to Christ and then after, you know, they've trusted Christ as Savior, a basic truth that they encourage you to teach is that promise from God, "I will never leave thee." And man, I remember that, and maybe some of you remember it as a kid. You take your hand and you say, "I," or "God will never leave me," pointing right back to me. And sometimes we say, man, those are truths kids need to know because when they get in those scary times of darkness at night or other scary situations of life, we can trust that God is there. But as adults, when we go through scary times of life, "God, what are you doing? God, are you there? I don't see you. Why are you allowing these situations and circumstances in my life?" God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I can trust Him. This word fear means to be frightened or even terrified. And sometimes as we go through life and the changes of life, how am I going to make it? How can I even get out of this situation? I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But God says, I'm with you. Just because my first reaction is fear, it doesn't mean that the situation is wrong. It's an opportunity for me to make sure my focus is on God. Mary, when the angel came, that wasn't wrong. Joseph, when the angel told him, hey, you, Mary, is having a baby. And this is a miracle. It wasn't wrong, but it was an opportunity for him to trust God. Zacharias, that his wife was going to have a baby. The shepherds. We don't have to be afraid as we go through life. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do we get that sound thinking? Go back to the Word of God. And God comforts us and changes us through His Word. Sometimes you might be in a situation where, man, your fear is just overwhelming and you don't know how to go on. What do? You open up the Word of God and get into the Bible and let God change your thinking. Simply reading it. God changes us. Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Man, fear destroys us. Living by our emotions destroys us. Look back at your life and see how many decisions you could have made based on your emotions, guys, and what that would have done. Man, I would have just let that guy have it and everything in me and whatever it may. I mean, look at the consequences that could have happened. So many other things. But man, we look at our life and we say, our emotions can draw us back to God. Praise God for emotions. That I don't have to be afraid. That I don't have to be dismayed, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. The word dismayed gives us the idea to gaze about in anxiety. To look away or be bewildered. What is going on? Have you ever felt that way in situations? I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do next or how to think or, whoa. Just looking around for help and answers and hope. I don't have to be dismayed. Not just that God is with me. He said, be not afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy what? Thy God. Goes back to I have been chosen by Him. Man, there's that personal relationship with God. Praise God for my emotions, that it can draw me back to Him and remind me, wow, I can have a personal relationship with God. Again, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, you need to have that today. He died for your sins. But if you do, let's let these truths and our emotions draw us back to God. God, thank you. I don't know how to go or what to do from here, but thank you that you've chosen me. Thank you that I don't have to be afraid and dismayed. I can look to you and your word and let the truth of your word change my thinking. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we begin to think on lies, it changes the way we live. Look at what evolution has done to our society. And people think about it and believe it to be true. It begins to change the way people think. And I mean, that's why abortion is okay. And that's why so many other things are okay. Because if evolution is true, who really cares? Well, the reality is we go back to the Word of God and say, well, God created us, so abortion is not okay. And so many of these other lifestyle choices are not okay. Because we go back to, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has chosen you. God has made you unique and special. But sometimes we're in the middle of societal changes and we're like, how can we even go on? Is there any hope? We draw back to the truth of God's word and say, God, you have placed me here for such a time as this. And I will let you change my thinking and not let the fear of my culture, let all of these changes dismay me or gaze about thinking where to go. Because God, you are a personal God, not just to our church. I mean, wouldn't that be exciting if we as a church family only had a relationship with God? Like, that was something we could do on Sundays and Wednesdays. We get together and we worship God, and we do. But that God is your God, not just when you get together as a church family, but at home and everywhere you go. God says, don't be dismayed. I am thy God. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We memorized that verse earlier this year. But look at what verse 9 says. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. As we go through the difficult life changes at times, we can be confident that God is with us and let our emotions draw us back to Him. When your first reaction is fear or dismay or overwhelmingness, I need to immediately look back to Christ. That's what Peter did. Man, he walked out on that water. He was confident that Jesus was there. And if it was Jesus, he could walk on the water because of Jesus. He got his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. And what did he do? He called out and he focused on Jesus, and Jesus held his hand. And as we go through life, God says, I'm with thee. We don't have to let the changes of life overwhelm us. Though they are overwhelming at times. But we can rest in the fact that even my emotions can draw me back to the truth that He is my personal God. That He loves me. He's chosen me. And I can walk with Him every day. Adam and Eve in the garden walked with God in the garden. There's the old song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. That's truth. Wow. Let our emotions draw us back to God. Whether they're fear or whether they're other emotions. God has made us with emotions. Praise God for emotions. They can renew our strength as we draw back to Him. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Praise God you've been chosen. Praise God for your emotions. And praise God, He can be trusted. Really, man, the truth He's chosen me, what a blessing. The truth that He's made me emotional so I can turn back to Him is great. But if He couldn't be trusted, what good would that be? Man, you think about recess when you were a kid. And maybe you're going out, the game we played when I was in elementary was kickball. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't wait to get out to recess and we'd play kickball. And you would choose teams. Now, I never was a team captain. And I was usually near the end and was hoping I'd get called before the last guy, you know. And you go through those things and that fear of being, you know, chosen last. Or being chosen by that team because you know they've got all the bad players. I mean, and you go through those things. If that's how God was, what hope would that be that He chose us? What good would that be that our emotions can draw us back to Him? Except that He can be trusted. Verse 10, He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God can be trusted this week. When life changes happen and we don't understand, God can be trusted. When I don't know how to work through my emotions because of this situation, God can be trusted. God cares about everything going on in my life. And He can be trusted. He's that personal God throughout verse 10. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Wow. He is a very personal God. Do you know Him personally, or do you just open up His word when we get together at church and, wow, that was good? Man, let's walk with Him and talk with Him every day as we go through life. And the joy we share as we tarry there. But is that the joy you share, or you just continue struggling with your emotions? Man, I struggle with my emotions. I'm just telling you. I struggle with my emotions. But my emotions must draw me back to God, because He can be trusted. Even when we don't see how He can get us through this situation, He says, I will strengthen thee. The word strengthen means to make strong or brave. Whoa, we need that, don't we? Some of you getting ready to go off into adulthood in the next couple years. Exciting and intimidating. Some of you getting ready for some major life change. Exciting and yet scary. God will strengthen you for that. Some of us, we don't see huge life change coming. It just sometimes hits us in the face. He says, I will strengthen thee. To make us brave and strong. Not again in ourselves. Not pulling up our bootstraps a little harder so we can work harder at going through this situation and not giving up. But resting in Him. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Well, that's a tumultuous time. But we don't have to fear, because He can be trusted. Verse 4 goes on and says, there is a river thereof that makes glad the city of God. Man, that whole psalm, you get discouraged. Go to the book of Psalms. What an encouragement. God can be trusted. He'll strengthen me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Man, Paul's struggling with some life changes he doesn't enjoy. In fact, let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Sometimes it's physical life changes that we don't enjoy. Some believe that's what's going on in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. Actually, let's go up verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes God allows us to go through things, again, to remind us we are nothing and He's given us so much. Sometimes He's given us those things, again, to draw us back to Him. And Paul realized that through the situation. He said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, and if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, God said specifically, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Are you weak? I sure am. And I'm thankful that God will strengthen me. That God can be trusted through the life changes that I go through. And that I will go through. You know, maybe you've gone through some things and you're just like, whoa, man, I'm glad that's over. That one is over. But God can be trusted when you go through the next one. I remember talking with my brothers. We were going through some major life changes, kind of at the same time in ministry as we were working through, as God closing the door for us in deputation, and He's working through some of these things in the church ministry they were serving with, and He said, you know, it's really nothing like what you're going through, Josh. And I said, wait a second. It's just as big to you as it is me. It's just that God's brought me to those situations years ago when I was your age. And now He's entrusted me with greater that He's prepared me for. It's not more than I can handle. But it's enough that points me back to my need of Him. God will strengthen me. He says, yea, I will help thee. This word help means surround and protect. Aren't you thankful that God surrounds you and protects you? Wow. If I know Him as Savior, He is my help to protect me when life is tough. To surround me. Psalm 121. We won't look at the entire psalm, short psalm. Encourage you to read through it. Psalm 121 reminds us that God is our help. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Now look at this. Once again, the truth of God, He can be trusted. He can help us. Why? Who is He? He's the one which made heaven and earth. If God could do all that, can He help me? And sometimes we just don't see how He can help us with this situation. But He can. And my emotions can draw me back to that truth that God can be trusted. He'll strengthen me. He'll help me. And the last part of verse 10, God says, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. To support, sustain, or hold fast. You've been walking around. Maybe you were out Black Friday shopping and you just felt like you were shopping until you were going to drop. Shop till you drop. And what do? Your feet are just, your body's just like, I've had enough. I've just got to sit. As we go through life, God hasn't made us to stand on our own two feet, but to rest on Him. He says, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, sometimes maybe you've struggled to stand up and, hey, would you just give me your hand? You just feel weak on your feet. Hey, can I just hold on to your arm? Got some ants that they need some help sometimes as they're getting up and just hold on and just for stability and some strength. God doesn't just give us stability in life. He strengthens us, helps us, and holds us. We just depend wholly on Him. God, I need you. And we fall back in His arms. The right hand of His righteousness. There's a song that says, safe in His arms. I am safe in His arms. Wow. When our babies cry, they want to go to their mama's arms. When we go through fear and dismaying times of life, we have a Father that we can run to and say, God, I need you. But let's already be walking close with Him in that personal relationship because He's chosen us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not, I might give you rest. If you work hard enough, I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. God will uphold you this week. I don't know. Maybe there's some struggles going on in your life. Some stuff you just don't understand. We can praise God that He can be trusted. We can praise God that He's chosen us, that He's given us those emotions to draw us back to Him and remind us how much we need Him.